Hey,
how are you?
Yeah. It's been kind of shallow the last two Sundays. See how people are doing this week. We're going to be in 1 Corinthians again. First Corinthians chapter 7. Again, it's another one I don't like to teach on. People get all crazy. But get crazy.
Get crazy.
Amen.
Don't get crazy.
I wish there was a lot more young people and their wives here.
Hey, I'm young.
You're probably the only one I'm going to be talking to today.
That's all right. Bring it.
Amen.
Won't be the first time.
Let us open a word of prayer and then we'll just get started. Father, we just want to thank you, Lord, for your presence, Lord. It seems chaotic, you know, where there's things going on. And I just ask, Father, that this would be a place, Lord, where we come to meet you, Father, that I don't remember how long ago it was now, Lord, but I really feel like you were calling me to bring the church into my quiet times. And so, Lord, that's what I ask for today. I ask for the anointing of your spirit, Lord. We know you live in us, Lord, but I just want to feel your presence collectively together as a body to know, Lord, that we are before you. And as we read your word, Lord, we know that it is the living word of God, something we trust, Lord, with all of our hearts. It's the only real truth, especially in the world we live in. And so I just ask, Lord, that you would open each heart up, give us a new beginning, a new, it's just something new today, Lord, to start us off right, and not just for today, but something that stays with us, Father. I know, Lord, that when you give us things, we don't just hear it from each other, but when you give it, we receive it from you, Lord, it stays with us for eternity. And so, Lord, we ask for that this morning, that whatever we receive will change our lives. And it'll be, Lord, the things you want for us, the things you want to share with us. And so I truly ask for these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
So those of you that are married and those of you that aren't, it's still a good thing to know all this information. So, because you never know. Amen. This is a lot of people. I just want to talk a little bit about it first on this first section. A lot of people that I've met over the years have come to talk to me about relationships, their relationships. Sometimes I get calls nowadays even, and I go to their homes and I spend time with them. And this subject is brought up every once in a while. And it's a subject that a lot of people don't want to discuss, but God gives us his word, amen?
Amen.
And what I have learned over years and years of this is we try to use this subject to gain things, to get our way, you know? And this very subject today is not something that that we should try to get over on somebody or to gain something or to get our way. Okay, this is something that God has given us as man and wife. And when I marry people, then I'm asking them if they're forsaking all others for this person. And when you forsake all others, when somebody has forsaken all others for you, you no longer belong to yourself. They've given up everything for you. It's not something that you can bargain with. You no longer belong to yourself. You understand? You can't. It's not something you can bargain with. And that's what ruins so many marriages. Years ago, I was almost going to look this morning real fast because it came to me this morning, but I didn't, to see what the new statistics are. But years ago in the late 90s when I first taught on this, I looked up how many marriages end in divorce. And at the time, in the world, people who claimed not to be Christians, of course, most of America claims to be Christians, but it still was a poll that was taken. 37% of marriages end in divorce when they don't claim to be Christians. But it was like 60-something percent of marriages end in divorce when they say they're Christians. And they say that the key things were money, sex, and I can't remember the other ones. Say it again.
Communication.
That you have that in marriage?
Dedication.
Yeah.
She said communication. That's a hard one.
That's key.
That's key for women. Okay.
Careers.
I'm just teasing.
Careers.
Careers. Careers. There's a bunch of them. You understand? But that's where a lot of people make mistakes in marriage, is you think that you still are one being, and you're not. You belong to another. Huh?
It's like ownership.
Yeah. Well, when somebody that's a harsh way to say it nowadays, but when somebody forsakes all others for you, that means something. He has a God-given right to you, or vice versa. You guys laugh and say whatever you want because I'm a man up here, but I've had women call me upset about this subject. Okay? It's mutual, trust me. And hasn't been for a while, but... But I've had that happen, amen. Anyways, I bring these things to your attention because, especially these young guys, you know, I'm not talking about just the guys, the women that are here too or should be here. And those of us who have been married for years, you know, that vow we took doesn't change when we get older. It doesn't. It doesn't change when we go through menopause.
Yeah, I know. That's true.
Menopause ain't an excuse.
That's right. No, amen. No, it's true.
I cannot believe I just said that.
It's true. No.
I'm going to be in a lot of trouble. Good thing there's not a lot of people here today. No. But it's true. I've heard it all. But I'm going through this. I'm going through that. I've heard people tell me, but I told him I wanted this, that, and the other thing. Oh my gosh, one time I was at a wedding and they wrote their own vows. And the guy's like, yeah, as long as she lets me watch my sports and drink my beer. And she's like, yeah, as long as he's got money so I can go shopping. That was their vows. Oh. The wedding lasted one kid and 3 years later.
Oh, wow.
Oh, darn.
You understand?
No.
Is that crazy?
Yes.
And that was about forsaking all others. When you say that, that means that that person is one. And our word tells us that we become one with that person.
Amen.
Okay? I'm going to tell you what I'm going to tell you straight up, then you guys can say whatever you want, okay? But you should never be apart. If you're married, you should never be apart. Do you understand what I mean by that?
Amen.
Huh? You want me to say it?
Say it faster.
If somebody wants it every day, it's every day. You understand?
Yes, Pastor.
I'm dead serious. I'm sorry. It's the truth. You know why? Because Satan takes a foothold in people's lives. He's forsaken or she's forsaken all others for you, and you withhold yourself. Mm-hmm. And when you withhold yourself, especially in the world we live in, you told me to do this.
Keep
going.
Say it,
Pastor.
Keep going.
Come on.
Okay?
Bring it.
Satan has a foothold in these young people's lives. He has a foothold in our lives.
Right.
If we let him.
Amen.
Amen?
Amen.
Okay? And the person we love, we say, you know what always gets me, sister? You're looking at me. I'm just going to tell you. And I've seen it. I've seen it over and over. Remember the movies I tell you guys about? I've seen it. I've seen this role take place over and over and over again. Right? The person withholds for whatever reason, doesn't matter. They lose their spouse. Okay? Because Satan took a foothold. And then they're out with strangers doing the same thing their spouse was asking for. How is that even a thing? Willing to do with strangers what somebody who loved them was asking for. Because they want that in their life, but they got to a point where they're unwilling to sacrifice that. Can you imagine? And I've seen it over and over and over and over again in the stinking church even. Right?
Right.
Anyways, I don't know why I told you guys all that.
Bring it.
Bring it.
We haven't read yet.
Oh, okay.
We're going to read now and explain
what
it.
What you talked about, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
We're going to read now and explain it. You know, these are hard subjects. These are hard subjects and people don't want
to
hear them. But if you're in a relationship right now that isn't what it used to be, try what I'm telling you. Spend time with that person knowing that you're one with that person. What's that?
No, it was Jerry. It was me.
Yeah. You don't get fed at home, you go for fast food.
Yeah, that's what, you know what I mean? You don't get fed at home, you're going to go fast food.
Okay, Angie's getting into the Satan part.
Direct.
You guys ready? All right, here we go. It's true, though. I've seen it over and over and over again. I've been in mega churches, like where people, I know people that go to these mega churches. And there's people there that have been remarried and remarried and remarried to the same people in the church. And nobody says anything. They're just happening. They're never going to be happy if that's what they're choosing. Choose the one you choose to be with. Amen?
Amen.
Choose that partner no matter what. Be with them. Okay. You ready?
Ready. We're ready.
7:1. And this is something the church wrote to him about. Remember I told you that there was a letter that was written and he's answering it, right? I think it's 7:1, 8:1, 12:1, 16:1. They all say the same thing about what you wrote. You understand? Okay. Now for the matter you wrote about. It is good for a man not to marry. But since there is so much immorality, each man should have his own wife and each woman have her own husband. I wanted to back up to 6:12. Do you remember how they were using this in the church? But everything's permissible. I'm saved by grace. But everything's permissible. Remember?
Mm-hmm.
And so Paul quotes it to him. He says, everything's permissible for me, but not everything is beneficial. Everything is permissible for me, but I will not be mastered by any fast food. Food for the stomach and stomach for the food, but God will destroy them both.
Mm-hmm.
The body is not meant for sexual immorality, but for the Lord and the Lord for the body. And when he says that, you know what he's saying? You became one with your partner when you got married and you gave yourself to each other. So your relationship is one with the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
Okay? By his power, God raised the Lord Jesus from the dead, and he will raise us also. Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ himself? Shall I then take the members of Christ and unite them with a prostitute? Never. Do you not know that he who unites himself with a prostitute is one with her in body? For it is said the two will become one flesh. You see the importance of what we're talking about? Why would you let Satan have a foothold? Get it? The husband should fulfill the marital duties of his wife, and likewise the wife to her husband. The wife's body does not belong to her alone, but also to her husband. In the same way, husband's body does not belong to him alone, but also to his wife. It's a God-given right when somebody has forsaken all others for you. You no longer are one, but you become one with another. And you don't have the rights you had before you gave yourself to that person. And it's not contingent on what you get. Not contingent on what you want. It's not contingent if you're on menopause.
Yeah. True.
I'm sorry, it's just funny to me. It's like she said it. I don't know. Here we go. Listen to why, you guys.
Not contingent on retired.
That's right. Do not deprive each other except by mutual consent for a time, so that you may devote yourselves to prayer. Amen?
Amen. Amen.
What does yours say, sister?
No, I was in a murmur.
Oh, I'm in
five.
Five.
Oh, five.
Mm-hmm. 7 and 5.
And then you don't waste any time. The Bible says, then you come back together again so that Satan will not tempt you because of your lack of self-control. You think about it for a minute. There's people in the world, friends, families, people in our church, there's people everywhere that are literally starving for attention this way and are lusting after other things. And that's because the enemy, the devil, amen, has put these things into people's lives. It's never supposed to be that way. It's not meant to be that way. Okay, we're meant to be together. That togetherness is in every way. This is kind of terrible, but I'm going to tell you guys something. My first wife, Kathy, who I love to death, don't get me wrong, okay? But I used to tell her, honey, 50% of marriage is making love. 50% of marriage, 50% of marriage. I used to put it out there like that, you know what I mean? And it's true. You lose something when you're not intimate with each other. And the only time you shouldn't be intimate is when you're set aside a certain amount of time for prayer and things like that. And then you should immediately come back together because the enemy has a plan to destroy you. That's a fact. Okay? It's never too late to get it right.
Amen.
Amen. And I just want to tell you guys something, because some of you are starting to look at me funny. I'm just reading God's word and trying to explain it. It's pretty self-explanatory when it says the wife's body does not belong to her alone, but also to her husband, in the same way the husband's body does not belong to him alone, but to his wife. Do not deprive each other. Pretty self-explanatory.
Yeah.
It says the only time you shouldn't be that way is when you have a time of prayer, and then you should come right back to each other so that Satan doesn't have a foothold in your life. Pretty self-explanatory.
Yes.
Get mad at the pastor, but you know, I'm just reading it. Okay? I wish there was more people here to hear it. More people need to hear this.
Yes.
Amen?
Uh-huh.
I have a crowd up here that's in agreement. Then come together again so that Satan will not tempt you because of your lack of self-control. I say this as this next section, he's talking about how he feels gifted because he's not married. And God has given him the gift of being able to stay unmarried so that he can be in the ministry better, okay? And that's okay. You know, there's people, though, that have come to me, young people, have come to me and said, you know, I think I'm going to stay unmarried so that I can serve the Lord. I want to be married to the church, you know? And that's a good thing if that's what God actually called you to. But if you're just saying that because you want to have, you know, you want to be in the ministry like that or whatever, and you don't have self-control, you're going to fall. Okay? And that's what Paul's talking about. He was gifted. Now, Paul was married at one time. He had to be. You can't be a Pharisee and not be married. That was a rule. And so he had to have been married at one time, and his father or his wife probably passed away. But now that he's a widower, he decided to stay unmarried. You understand? And he could do it because God had gifted him with not burning for that passion. And so he was able to stay unmarried and be able to travel and meet people and do the things that God called him to do. But not everybody's gifted that way. And and I could take you to other places where he's not like this. He wants people to marry. So in this particular place, something was going on. It had to do with what was asked of him. It was also a very evil place where there was all kinds of prostitution and they were using it in the name of religion. You know, they were called priestesses. And people from that city had a custom of worshiping there and sleeping with those priestesses and stuff like that. It was just, that's the kind of place it was. There was more than just one. Okay? So they were dealing with these kind of things. I will not... Okay, I say this as a concession, not as a command. I wish that all men were as I am, but each man has his own gift from God. His was to be a traveling evangelist. Amen? One has this gift, another has that. He was praising God for his gift, that he could be that person. Not to the unmarried, now to the unmarried and the widow, I say, it is good for them to stay unmarried as I am. But if they cannot control themselves, they should marry. For it is better to marry than to burn with passion. See that? It's better to marry than to burn with passion. You know, I gave this a lot of thought this week because the Bible says that just the thought is a sin. See? And so that's where the enemy comes in. He comes in with a thought. See? And if we entertain that thought before long, we're doing the things that we're entertaining. And when we're fully engulfed in those things, the Bible calls it death. So that's where the enemy comes in. That's where he was talking about when Satan comes in because of our lack of self-control. I want to go back to something really fast. Do you know what happens when you're the person God's calling you to be in that relationship? All the things that you're withholding for, all the reasons, all those things, they go away because the person, right, that you're not withholding for anymore, is so in love that he wants to give you all the things you desire. Relationships are made right. They're not torn apart. Everything's being done backwards. Do you understand? Okay, I don't want you to understand. I want you to do it right. Okay. Oh, he's serious. Okay, praise God. Me too. I was trying to joke, but I got serious real quick. Where am I? 9? No.
10.
To the married I give this command, not I, but the Lord. A wife must not separate from her husband. But if she does, she must remain unmarried or else be reconciled to her husband. And a husband must not divorce his wife. I wanted to take you to Mark. It's the best one I found. I was in Matthew and in Luke, but in Mark, chapter 10.
Mark Luke?
Mark 10. 10. Okay. Jesus left them, or Jesus then left that place and went into the region of the Judea and crossed the Jordan. Again, crowds of people came to him. And as was his custom, I love this part, he taught them. I wanted to stop right there, but I don't want to. It's pretty good to on. Can you imagine being so filled with Christ and so full of his word that everywhere you go, you share? It's beautiful, huh? Some Pharisees came and tested him by asking, is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife? See, you guys, Jesus says it in Matthew, but the only excuse for divorce in his way of thinking is unfaithfulness. Okay? And even then, God doesn't believe in divorce. He doesn't want that relationship to come to an end. He wants it to be, because God can fix all things. If we surrender that to him, he can fix that. Amen? But it's because, and he says it so clearly here, it's because of our stubborn hearts. Watch what he says. The Pharisees came and tested him by asking him, is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife? What does Moses command you? And he literally goes right to the heart of the problem and brings them to Moses. Okay? He does that on purpose, knowing he's going to rebuke it. Watch. They said, Moses permits a man to write a certificate of divorce and send her away. It was because your hearts were hard that Moses wrote this law. Not because of God, but because of people and their hard hearts. It was because of your hearts were hard that Moses wrote this law. You see that, Paul? It wasn't a law of God. It was a law of man. Catch it?
Yes.
It was because your hearts were hard that Moses wrote this law, Jesus replied. But at the beginning of creation, God made them male and female. For this reason, a man leaves his father and mother and be united to his wife, and the two will become one flesh. So there are no longer two, but one. Therefore, what God has joined together, let no man separate. Can I tell you guys something? And this is dumb, a dumb way of thinking. But when I marry people and I share that, right? There's a lot of people that'll even ask, is there anybody here that can come between these two before we go into marriage, right? That's not what he's saying right here. He's talking about you or your spouse, the one you're marrying. Do not separate. Do not let that happen. Do you understand? There's reasons for it happening, and I'm going to share those with you now, okay? But don't let it happen. He said, don't let, what did I just read to you? That last part. That's not a person outside the marriage. I'm going to tell you why it's not a person outside the marriage like I used to think. Can I tell you why? Because you have control over your life. You have control over that marriage. It's not somebody else coming in and trying to flirt with you or this, that, and the other thing. It's your self-control. Do you understand? Watch what it says. Therefore, what God has joined together, let no man separate. Understand? Mm-hmm. It's the one or the other in the marriage, not somebody else. You get it? Okay. I've been accused of stuff before when I was younger, and it wasn't true, of course. And everybody knew it, even my wife knew it, but she was like, I still want you to be careful in this and that and the other thing. And I set her down one day and I said, you don't have to trust the other person. You have to trust the one you're married to. Do you understand? And it's the truth. You don't have to trust the other person. You have to trust me.
Don't worry about them, worry about me.
You get it? Isn't that crazy?
It is.
Because it's true. The other person has no power and can't do anything without you giving in. So you're the one God's talking to right there. Okay? Now where are we at? We're going to go back to Corinthians? My timer never started. I still have the same amount of time I started with.
Yeah, 12.
Well, we're watching.
Well, I'm in 7:12, right?
Yeah, we'll tell you when you're done.
Yeah.
You got lots of time.
Oh, look, he just did it. Mm. Okay. To the rest. Is that where I'm at?
Yes.
Okay. So we understand the certificate of divorce is not something God ever intended.
Yep.
Okay. And I'm going to share something with you here. I want to share it with you because I know a lot of you are thinking, hey, wait a minute. I've been through this. Okay. I've been through this. And I'm not telling you you did something wrong because I'm going to show you where it's never okay to God, but I'm going to show you where these things do happen and why. Okay? You ready? Okay. To the rest I say this, I, not the Lord, if a brother has a wife who is not a believer and she is willing to live with him, he must not divorce her. And if a woman has a husband who is not a believer and he is willing to live with her, she must not divorce him. For the unbelieving husband has been sanctified through his wife, and the unbelieving wife has been sanctified through her believing husband. Otherwise, your children would be unclean, but as it is, they are holy. Amen. I want to explain this to you guys, and then we'll go into the other part. This is very important, and I need you guys to hear me. Okay, you online, you who are here today, whoever it is, okay, I need you to hear this. I need you to hear it even if you're not with your significant other and you still have children. I need you to hear this. What he's saying there about sanctification, he's saying this, and I promise you this, okay? I've told people this before. You could take yourself out of the marriage and put me in it, and one of two things is going to happen. She's either going to comply or she's going to leave. Do you understand? Okay, and most of the people I've spoken to that way left with her, and they're still miserable. Or they're not together. That's the truth, I promise you. Not that I was right, but I'm in Christ. That's the sanctification part. Don't go home and act like he, or the spouse that you're living with that's an unbeliever, don't go home and act like them. You go home and be the Christian man or woman God's called you to be, and you be sanctified. And if that person accepts that, whether they accept him or not, they're going to live with you in that sanctification. And because of it, your children are going to have a chance. Why? Because they're going to be made holy because you didn't give in. One of two things is going to happen. They're either going to comply or they're going to leave. Okay? And this is for people who came to know Christ after they were already married. It's pretty crazy if you guys know Christ and then you get married and then something like this happens. I'm not saying it doesn't happen, but this is talking about that. These were like new believers who came in out of a place like I talked to you was before they came to know Christ. So they were already struggling with a lot of the things we struggled with we did before knowing him. Okay, but they chose to remain in him, even in the situation. And because of it, God changes the situation. Do you understand? Okay, because the only reason a non-believer on the next section would leave you because you became a Christian is if you're truly staying sanctified. It's better to stay sanctified. Amen? You get it? Because you're making that. Listen, remember the scripture I just read to you in 6? Would you unite Christ with a prostitute? Remember? Well, guess what's happening when you stay sanctified in the home? You're making your spouse one with Christ. Something's happening there. Something's changing, amen? You can't, I've been in both situations. It's hot in here, isn't it? We need the air on or something. Where's Brother Paul? Huh? Just me? Okay.
It's okay.
All right.
It's hot.
I'm looking around and everybody's sweating over here.
It's hot, the talk, man.
Including, it's the talk.
It's the talk.
It's the talk!
Bring it.
Okay.
Bring it.
It's true.
It's all scriptural. It's right here. We're just reading it. Amen?
Yes, amen.
Right.
Most people skip this part because they don't want to get into the church like this. I don't skip things.
We need to know the truth.
Even if I'm guilty, I stand up here guilty sometimes. I stand up here and God's convicting my heart with the words coming out of my mouth, but I'm not going to leave them out.
That's right.
Amen?
Amen.
Okay, watch. I love this part. Let's start in 14. It says, the unbelieving husband has been sanctified through his wife, and the unbelieving wife has been sanctified through her believing husband. Otherwise, your children. Otherwise, your children. Otherwise, your children. I've seen it where a husband, or I want to tell you this story. I shared it with your wife yesterday. There was this little old lady. Her name was Winona Clariman. And she had been in the church. She helped start the church in 1954 that I went to back in the day. And now it's the late 90s. Okay? And she was old when she started church. She was like 90 years old when she told me this. Okay? But she lived in sanctification. She loved the Lord, and her husband was an unbeliever. An unbeliever the whole time. They were together at 19. And now they're like 90. Unbelievers. Or he's an unbeliever. All her children were raised in the church. They all grew up holy and loving the Lord. Amen? They all of them. It was beautiful, okay? Her husband was the only one working. She was a stay-at-home mom, and she still tithed. She told me this story, and he let her do it because he loved her. Amen? Because she was this woman. Do you understand? And the children were made holy. You get it? Okay, now, I've also been where people are telling me, come pray for my husband, pray for my husband, pray for my husband, pray for my husband. I go to their house. I'm in the garage talking to their husband. He said, I missed him by that much. I almost had him coming to church. I'm sitting there on a bench at the workbench with him, sharing the gospel. And she comes out of the house, slamming the door, yelling about her bleeping kids. And yelling at him, bleeping at him. And she comes around the corner, and guess who's sitting with her husband sharing the gospel?
You are.
Those kids don't go to church today. They've been married and remarried and all kinds of stuff. You understand? And she's still asking people from church to church to come pray for her husband. Let's be sanctified. Let's be sanctified in Christ. Amen? No matter what our situation is. And you know what? We can start right now, anytime. We're not perfect. You get it?
Yes.
But every day there's new mercies.
Amen.
Okay, here we go. 15, thank you. But if the unbeliever leaves, let him do so. Here's the part I was sharing with you guys. But if the unbeliever leaves, let him do so. A believing man or woman is not bound in such circumstances. God has called us to live in peace. We're not bound in such circumstances. Man, because if you're going to live sanctified and that person doesn't want to be sanctified, that there's not going to be any peace in that house. You get it? But if they're willing to stay, that's when God can work. Amen. How do you know, wives, whether you will save your husbands, or how do you know, husbands, whether you'll save your wives? There's people that are hanging on and going through abuse and all kinds of other things when the person doesn't even want to be with them anymore because they're choosing Christ. And how do you know you're going to be able to save them? How do you know? Amen?
Very true.
Just be sanctified in Christ and let God work, work with the weeds and the wheat. Amen? Amen? Now you two, you have no excuse because you're both Christians. And I don't want to hear anything else other than that.
Amen.
Okay.
Amen.
Amen. He's not back there, Jacob. I was going to pick on Jacob. The Bible. I married them. The Bible says, till death do you part. Do not make me come look for you. Amen.
I'll come with you.
No, he adores his wife. Praise God. I'm very, actually, these young people that I'm meeting, you and Jacob and a few others, I'm very proud of you guys and the relationship you have with your wives and the ones you're building now. Amen. Just keep doing it. Just keep letting God work. Keep being sanctified in Christ. Let your marriage become wonderful in Him. Amen.
Amen.
Let it be. Let it be. Let it be. I'm talking to you too, Paul. Amen. Okay. Go ahead.
I was just counseling someone about loving their spouse. And
thank you for doing that, by the way.
Just sacrificing, sacrificing and loving their spouse.
Amen.
And the response I got, I know about marriage. I've been married 3 times.
Very true.
Wow.
Very true. Countless times in counseling, people tell me, well, my dad said this or my mom said that. And during the counseling session, I find out about their parents. And well, my mom's been married 3 times. Well, what are you taking marital advice from somebody who's been married 3 times?
It's true.
You understand?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. Oops. I've known drug addicts. A friend of mine was a heroin addict for 22 years, in and out of prison. His last stretch was 11 years. Wife wanted to divorce him a bunch of times. And God, in prayer, God kept telling her no, and she had every right to. This guy was so bad, Mary Jane, are you ready for this? She left. This guy was so bad, Jerry. He'd get out of prison and see that his wife was doing good and had all this nice stuff. He'd go tell his drug buddies, come and rob us and tie us up, and here's where all the good stuff is. And they'd get tied up and they'd rob him. And then he'd go and get the stuff with him and sell it and get drugs, end up back in prison. This was a terrible man. I could tell you story after story after story of 22 years of this. But then he gave his life to Christ in prison.
Amen.
And he got out and he became one of the most amazing Christian men. You met him, Paul. He became one of the most amazing Christian men. He was a pastor of one of the churches I attended for 12 years before he got sick and passed away. But an amazing man. And his wife said, I'm so happy I hung on, as bad as it was, because these last years are the best years of my life. God can change anything. You've met Thomas. God can change anybody. If you guys knew me before, God can change anybody.
Amen.
Amen. If you guys know me now, God can change anybody.
That's right.
I used to always tell the church, if I'm this guy 5 years from now, you need to kick me hard, because we need to be changing. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Oh, I'm the same as I was last 5 years? Here we go. No, you got worse. All right, here we go. I can't believe you guys are taking this so well. Mary Jane was the only one that left. Here we go.
She didn't want
to hear. Well, you can repeat it.
Okay. 12. Am I in 12?
No.
17.
17. Yeah.
I didn't think I'd get this far, and we still have about 7 minutes. Here we go. Nevertheless, each one should retain his place in life that the Lord assigned to him and to which God had called him. This is important, the rest of this passage. I want you guys to hear it. This is very important. How would I say it? I had a word for it earlier. Okay, it doesn't matter. I'll just explain it to you, okay? The Christian is not held by the same standards as the world. So if it's an unbelieving spouse that's not going to live in a Christian home and leaves, let them leave. But a Christian is not held by the same standard, okay? God's not telling you to get out of your situation. He's telling you to let him work in your life to change the situation. You understand?
Yes.
We're held by a different standard. Okay? And don't, I know some of you are thinking, well, I've already been there and done that. Don't feel bad about it now. Just for now on, do what God's calling you to do. Amen?
Amen.
You understand? We can't do anything about the past.
No.
But he can sure work in the, work in the present.
Amen.
Amen?
We can.
Get it? Let's build each other up. I've done a lot of things in my past that I'm ashamed to tell you. And God changed it. It's not who I am anymore. So I don't feel like I have to tell you.
Amen.
Do you understand? Okay. No. You have to tell us Saturday. Here we go. Nevertheless, each one should retain the place in life that the Lord assigned to him and to which God had called him. This is the rule I lay down in all the churches. Was a man already circumcised when he was called? He should not become uncircumcised. Was a man uncircumcised when he was called? He's talking about religion now. He should not be circumcised. The circumcision is nothing, and uncircumcision is nothing. Keeping God's commands is what counts. Amen? You get it, you guys? It's like we worry too much about what people think. We worry too much about tradition. You know, I'm going to tell you guys this. I've invited some people to our church, right? And they love being here, but it's not enough for them. Do you understand? It's not enough. And it's because they like to have more things. They like a bigger church, more resources, all these things that you see in other churches, which are wonderful things. And so many other things that they're doing because they have the resources and the people, right? And those are wonderful things, and that's okay. But that shouldn't keep you from serving where God called you.
That's right.
It shouldn't keep you from being the man or woman that God's called you to be. Amen?
Amen.
And I thought to myself 100 times, if people would quit doing that, we would have already been there.
Yeah, that's right.
You know what I mean? If they could, but it's okay. I understand it. And a long time ago, I resolved the fact that maybe we're the stopping place. You know, we're the place where they come in and get right and go out. You know, I don't know. Whatever God's going to do, I'm willing to be here for it. Amen?
Amen.
But what I'm trying to say in this passage of Scripture is this. We should never... Let's just read it. Nevertheless, each one should retain the place in life that the Lord assigned to him and to which God has called him. This is the rule I lay down in every church. Was a man already circumcised? We read all that. But you get what I'm getting at? Okay, here we go. 19, circumcision is nothing, and uncircumcision is nothing. So what I was getting at is those things aren't really anything if you're not letting God work in your life to achieve those things, and you're just trying to go and find them. You understand? God's command is what counts. Each one should remain in the situation which he was in when God called him. Were you a slave when you were called? I love this part. Listen to how beautiful this is. Don't let it trouble you, although if you can gain your freedom, do so. For he who was a slave, I love this. For he who was a slave when he was called by the Lord is the Lord's free man. I had a friend who did time in prison. It's a different friend besides the one I told you before. He did time in prison. When he got saved in prison, he started a Bible study called the Warrior Dogs. And the prison he was in, the lives of the inmates started to change. It was crazy amazing, you know? And he got out and he started churches. He started one and he built some people up. He left it to them and went and started another one. The Baptist Association came in and was like, hey, we want to hire you to go all around, you know? And he just kept going around, but he didn't get hired. He just blessed by the Lord. And he told me one day at a men's breakfast, he said, I lived in a 5x8 cell that was locked every day, but I was a free man. I was a free man. And once I got the other inmates to understand that in Christ, everybody was coming to the Lord. Isn't that beautiful? You get it? I love that scripture right here.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't matter our situation, we can be free. Okay? And if you think you're free and you come to Christ, you realize that you're his slave. That's the next passage. Let's read it.
Spoiler.
For he who was a slave when he was called by the Lord is the Lord's free man. Similarly, he who was a free man when he was called is Christ's slave. Amen. I'm a bondservant of Jesus Christ. I've been one for almost 30 years. You know what I do, Ange? Especially if I don't like something, I just resolve to serve him. Bad things are happening to me. People are saying bad things about me. All this weird stuff's happening. Things aren't the way they should be. They're not the way I intended them to be. They're not working out like I hoped. And I just resolve to serve the Lord.
Amen.
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 Right where he put me.
Right. Let me do it.
And taking it back to the beginning of this, because he's kind of hitting on it too, it's also in your relationship. Just resolve to accept it, but do it in sanctification. Do it in him working in your life every day.
Amen.
You know what? We think about those things and we don't think it's possible because of what we've lived. Okay? But that's because we're thinking like the world. We put our eyes on Christ, all things are possible, he said. And I don't give like the world gives. Amen?
Amen.
23?
Yes,
you were bought at a price. Do not become a slave to men. Be a slave to Christ. Don't give in to others. Resolve to accept the things that he has for you, not what the world has. You get it? Last time I got up here, I talked about pornography and all that, remember? Okay? I want to share that with you in this same case right here again for just a second. Those things that we put our heart and mind into, right? They destroy the things we're talking about today. They destroy your relationships. They make it impossible to be with somebody you love and truly love that person. Sometimes it makes it impossible for you to be with that person intimately. Put that into perspective, okay? You ready? Are you ready? Did you put it into perspective?
Absolutely.
Okay. Tell me where I am. 24. Brothers, each man is responsible to what God, should remain in the situation God called him to. Amen. Now about virgins. This one's for Jordan, and he's not in here. You guys think that's funny, but one day in Bible study, I stopped right there, and he's like, I wanted to hear the rest of it. That's the only reason I said that. Okay. Uh-huh. Oh, boy. Now about virgins. I have no command from the Lord, but I give a judgment as one who by the Lord's mercy is trustworthy. Because of a present crisis, I think it is good for you to remain as you are. He's talking about all the nastiness in the world. Do you know how hard it is? My son Mark used to go to mega churches to look for a girlfriend. And he'd go to those churches for a long time and he couldn't date one. Because he had such a high standard in Christ and he couldn't find it anywhere. That's how corrupt the world is today. It's just, it's that bad. You know? And because he held out, he found a good woman, praise God, who loves the Lord. And I kept telling the boys the whole time they were growing up, all three of them, you need to find somebody that loves the Lord more than you. Find somebody that loves the Lord more than you. Amen? Mm-hmm. And I'm telling you, single people today, if you're looking, find somebody who loves the Lord more than you.
That's right.
Amen?
That's it. Don't give it to
you. Could just remain as you are back there. Okay. Here we go.
He's the devil in disguise.
I'm telling you. Okay, are you married? Do not seek a divorce. Are you unmarried? Do not look for a wife. But if you are married, you have not sinned. And if a virgin marries, she has not sinned. But those who marry will face many troubles in this life. And I want to spare you this. What I mean, brothers, is that the time is short. Imagine he said that over 2,000 years ago, and I'm telling you today it's short. Time is short. Amen? What I mean, brothers, is the time is short. For now on, those who have wives should live as if they had none. He's not saying, he just told us how we're supposed to be with each other and all that. That's not what he's saying. He's saying that we need to live in our sanctification. We need to do what God's called us to do no matter what. Understand? Those who mourn as if they did not. Those who are happy as if they were not. Those who buy something as if it was not theirs to keep. Those who use things of the world as if not engrossed in them. For this world and its present form is passing away. Gosh, he said that back then. I see it dying today. Like, I see it on fire. Can you imagine? I see it on fire. I would like you to be free from concern. An unmarried man is concerned about the Lord's affairs, how he can please the Lord. But a married man, remember his gift he said he had that he wished everybody had, but not everybody has that gift? But a married man is concerned about the affairs of his wife, and his interests are divided. An unmarried woman or virgin is concerned about the Lord's affairs. Her aim is to be devoted to the Lord in both body and spirit. But a married woman is concerned about the affairs of this world, how she can please her husband. I am saying this for your own good, not to restrict you, but that you may live in a right way, in undivided devotion to the Lord. And that's whether you're married or not. It's just easier when you're not. But even when you are, amen, you still live as though you're not when it comes down to what God called you to. 36?
Yes.
I'm going to go fast now. If anyone thinks he is acting improperly towards the virgin. This is interesting here, and it's kind of one of those things you guys need to hear. Remember the story of Mary and Joseph? Do you remember? Joseph was going to go quietly and divorce her, right? But they weren't even married yet. See, when they were little kids, they were pledged to each other in marriage. And so you had to give a certificate of divorce to get out of that too. So when he's talking about these virgins now, right, he's talking about that. We're no longer under that law in Christ, okay? If anyone thinks he is acting improperly towards a virgin he is engaged to, and if she is getting along in years and feels he ought to marry, he should do as he wants. He is not sinning. They should get married. But if the man who has settled in the matter in his own mind, who is under no compulsion, but has control over his own will, and who has made up his mind not to marry the virgin, this man also does the right thing. He's no longer under that law. Okay? So then he who marries the virgin does right, and he who does not marry her even does better. A woman is bound to her husband as long as he lives. But if her husband dies, she is free to marry anyone she wishes. But he must belong to the Lord. I love that part. That is a deep thing right there that most people in the church don't get today. Understand? And I was telling you about my son Mark. He even went to church to find that and couldn't find it. You get it? Okay, they must know the Lord. Why would you start a relationship? Why would you start a relationship with somebody who doesn't love the Lord, thinking you're going to change them? If you're fully, wholly devoted to Christ, why would you start a relationship with somebody who doesn't know Him? Crazy, huh? In my judgment, she is happier if she stays as she is. And I think that I, too, have the Holy Spirit. The beautiful thing about that ending there, you guys, is that people wrote to him about these issues because of what they were being told. And it wasn't right. And so he was telling them, I think I have the Holy Spirit, too, when I tell you guys the truth of God's Word. Amen? So don't listen. We just read it a minute ago. Don't give in to man. Okay, give in to the Holy Spirit. Amen? All right, Father, we just want to come to you, Lord, today, thanking you, Father, for being in our lives. Thank you for your word. This is a hard word today. I mean, people were probably tripping out, but it was your word. I was sharing with somebody on Thursday night. Don't take my word for it. If you can't read it for yourself, don't accept it. But this is your word. We read it for ourselves today, Lord. And it doesn't matter where we're at or who it is that you're speaking to or where they're at or what they're dealing with, Lord. This is your word. And Lord, we accept it. We thank you for it. And we accept it, Lord. I ask your blessing over everyone who heard it. And I ask, Father, that you'll continue to work in our lives in such a way, Father, that we continue to surrender our lives to you, that we experience how real you are, Lord. We thank you for these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. That was